welcome to episode 3 of the Jordan Innovation Lab Philosophy Podcast, Corrupting the Youth. Today's guests are Olivia, Journey, Aaliyah, Amina, and Yurissa. Before we begin with questions, it would be good if you guys could introduce yourselves. You do host your own podcast, so if you could tell us about that and what year you are in school and then what you hope to do after high school.
I'm Journey. I am a junior here at Jordan. After high school, I plan to go to college, major in sports, exercise, sports med, and yeah, we do have our own podcast. We host the Minorities Experience podcast, so you guys should go check that out after you listen to this one.
Hi, my name is Amina. I am a senior here at Jordan High School. I am planning to, after this year, go to college and major in early childhood education and journalism.
My name is Aaliyah Kai Lewis. I'm a senior. I plan to go to a four-year college, and I don't really know what my major is right now, so it's kind of undecided for right now.
My name is Olivia Watson. I'm a senior, and after high school, I plan to go to a four-year and major in advertising.
My name is Yurissa, and I am a current senior here at Jordan. And what I plan to do after high school is get an associate in nursing.
That's awesome. Also, one last thing before we start. If you guys could each tell me if you're religious or if you have some sort of like moral code or philosophy.
I'll go first. I am Christian, so.
I am Muslim.
I'm Christian.
I'm not really religious.
I am Christian as well.
Okay. All right, let's just move on to the first question. So, this first question is, what do you think are the characteristics of a good person? And what do all good people have in common? How do you decide if someone's a good person?
I think a good person can be described as someone who's just very compassionate, always, not always, but would put someone else's needs before theirs. So like, if they see that someone needs help, they're going to help them. Just mm-hmm. someone who's just nice, like being nice means you're.
I would say what I categorize like for somebody that's a good person, I would say they think about how their actions affect other people, coming in need when people, you know, need help, not overly selfish, very compassionate, very caring, very, you know, in tune with other people's emotions. And they're not like, oh, me, but also like, okay, how does what I do affect everybody else at the same time?
Yeah, I totally agree what Journey and Amina said. Put in others first before yourself, but like also what your actions are before you do something.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing that they all basically said, is caring for yourself, but also looking out for others and making sure that they're good.
I would say that actions speak a lot more than words. And I think we can also all relate to that. So for me, it's a person who is very, not always putting others before them, because it's, you also have to be selfish sometimes. Mm-hmm. Being humble and having good manners and being humble, mm-hmm. for me, it's like, it speaks so much of a person. Like, you don't have to talk to me too much and tell me, oh, I'm nice. And I think it's not good. I think it's better for people to see what you are instead of talking it out all the time, you know?
So I think also what makes someone a good person is someone that doesn't do it to make themselves look good, mm-hmm. but that's genuinely, they want to make sure other people are okay. And I agree with what you said, like sometimes it's okay to look out for yourself first and be a little bit selfish.
Mm-hmm. That was actually my next question. So it feels like recently there's been more of a push for like self-care and stuff like that, because in the past always it was like, don't be selfish, like that's a really bad thing. And recently there's like kind of a pushback on that. So I'm just wondering what you guys think about that. Is it bad to be selfish? And like, where's the line between selfless and selfish?
I say I absolutely am a huge advocate for self-care. I love it. But at the same time, I do know and I understand personally that sometimes if my self-care becomes a way where it affects other people, then it's no longer self-care. Now it's just me being selfish in a sense. So it can go from, oh yeah, I'm taking this day off abruptly because I don't feel like being here, but in tune what if I had, let's say school-wise, what if I had projects to do with other people, or what if we had assignments that we had to finish and I didn't let anybody know that? I was just like, hey, okay, my bad. Figure it out. It's like, no, that's okay. You took a self-care day, but you affected everybody else's day and you probably put a hardship on them. So I say be selfish sometimes, but at the same time, once you're like, when you realize your selfishness becomes, I mean, your self-care becomes selfish, then it's no longer self-care.
I also feel like, some people, their self-care is taking care of others. Like some people, I know for me, well, no, not for me, my sister, she honestly enjoys like doing for other people. Like you cannot tell my sister no. You can't tell her, no, I'm okay. No, she's going to do it. So I know for her, that's like a way of self-care in a sense, like making sure that somebody else is happy. So like Amina said, I'm for self-care. Like don't, if you can't do it, don't say yes. If you can't do something, don't try to force your way to do it because you want to make other people happy. You should focus on yourself. But in a way, some people do things like because that genuinely makes them feel really good. And if it doesn't make you feel good, that's fine. Because like I said, that's not for me. My sister, if I can't do it, I'm going to say no. Yeah. I really don't care about how you feel.
I think it's definitely okay to be selfish because I think of myself, well, I used to be like a big people pleaser. And there were definitely times where I was saying like yes to things that I did not want to do and it made me feel bad. And I think it's definitely okay to say no and take time for yourself and you just need a break from something.
Yeah. I think the same thing. I can also relate to what Olivia said. I was also a pleaser for like, I wanted everybody to feel happy around me and that way. But sometimes I would give and I would feel empty, you know? So it was like, I gave you, but I was like feeling more empty all the time. So it's just, I decided to stop. And it's hard for me to stop, honestly, because I still think about my surroundings and I want my surroundings to be happy and I want my surroundings to have the best of me. But sometimes I am not taking care of myself anymore because I'm taking care of everybody else.
So then they can't really get the best of you.
Yeah. Because I will also say in terms of learning self-care and, you know, using it, you also have to learn in that sense how to use boundaries with your self-care. If you're like, oh, my self-care is, you know, me relaxing or whatever, that's cool, right? But at the same time, if you're like, oh, my self-care in tune, like what Yarissa was saying, that, oh, I still want people to be happy in a sense. Like Journey was saying, if you can't give yourself something out of what you're giving everybody else, then obviously you need to set a boundary between what you're giving and what you're getting back. Because if you're giving more than what you're getting back, then your self-care and everything else has just become twisted in one.
Good answers. All right, let's move on to something different. It's tough because we don't have a lot of time. I'd love to dive deeper into that, but here's a little bit of a different kind of question that usually brings out some interesting answers, especially in high schoolers. So if your life expectancy suddenly increased to 500 years, would you live differently than you currently are? And what would you do? And would you even want to live that long?
I think if I knew I was going to live 500 years, I would live a little differently because it's only me that's living 500 years. I don't think I would try to get too attached or close to anyone because, like, I'm obviously going to live past you. Like, my last maybe 100 years, I might start getting close to somebody. But that first 400, I don't think I'll have no, like, you know, friends or anything. Would I want to live that long? No, that's too long, like. What am I doing for that long? No.
I definitely say I wouldn't want to live that long. I mean, like, when I think about it, because personal, you know, things that I want to accomplish, like, I want to start a family, and I know, you know, I'm going to pass on, so I'm not going to see, like, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, nah, man, I ain't trying to live that long to see y'all. I'm sorry. I got to go. Like, especially if my first group of, you know, my first direct family members aren't here. And it's like, yeah, you
whole
guys.
Generation,
yeah, whole like, generation. Yeah, whole generation. And I'm just here stuck with you guys. Like, not to say stuck, but it's like, no, because after, I'm still going to be here and you guys are going to be gone. So I really don't want to live that long.
I feel like definitely I wouldn't want to live that long just because it's like you're living 500 years. You're going to see how the world is going to change. I feel like it's going to be a little bit tough. and it's just going to put a little bit of stress a little bit just because, yeah, that's a really, really tough question. It's like, you're going to see things. I can't really say that much. Just, I said everything but nothing.
Look, the immediate answer was no.
Okay, wait, I have a question. So if I'm living 500 plus more years, so I get to, like, am I starting from the age I am now, or do I get to, like, restart, like, as a kid and then go?
And know that you would live that long as a kid? You could restart. Yeah, that would be interesting. What's your answer to that?
I don't know. I think I would rather restart so then I can change some stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, how I don't know. Just, like, I'd rather not start from now and then go. But also, this is going to sound so bad, but I feel like if I'm living 500 years, I might do some bad stuff and then see.
Just to add on. Yeah. I'm going to be here for a minute, so it's okay.
But I honestly don't see the world getting, like, that much better of a place, so I would not want to live 500 years.
No, if I could go back, I probably wouldn't eat as many hot Cheetos as I did. But, but yeah, I don't think I would live that long, though.
I think we already go through a lot of things already, and I'm just 17. Now, imagine 500 years. That is too much. I feel like that would be too much for me. And I want to add on what Olivia said with the, when, like, restarting. I wouldn't want to restart for the reason that all of the things I've gone through from my childhood have helped me be who I am now.
Absolutely.
So it's like,
you'd be a different person.
Yeah. I would change some stuff. I would have loved for things to be different, but, you know, it's just how life is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like Olivia said, the world keeps getting worse. Like, I feel like it keeps getting worse every day. Mm-hmm. So what can you expect in 500 years?
Mm-hmm. And to, like, add on that, you're going to be around a lot of people. You're going to see a lot of deaths, a lot. So it's just going to take a lot of toll on you, especially.
Yeah. That's what a lot of young people say. I mean, but if you talk to older people, they're like, wow, I feel like my life has been so short and I'm already, like, going to die soon. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, except for the fact that they're getting old and it's not as fun to live when you're old, they would want to live that long. And also, I think maybe it wouldn't necessarily be a fun life, but you could do a lot of good because you could go to school for like 50 years and be the most educated person in the world. I don't know. So, you could say that you don't think the world would change very much in 500 years, but with that long of a life, you could make a lot of change.
So are you saying you would stay?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I can see the point of view, and that's what I thought at the start too. But when I think about it a lot, I just think that I could do a lot of good in that amount of time. And people are just, like, really fixed on what their life is going to be because obviously that's what you've been thinking about your whole life, what you want to do within the time constraints that you have. But then there's actually a lot more that's open to you in 500 years. I can see stuff that sounds crazy, like no one could ever do, no one has ever done. But with that amount of time, you really could discover something new, do something crazy.
Yeah. There is a lot of time.
So what do you think about being a billionaire? So you guys have said that the world is not a good place and you don't see it going in a good direction. And is there, like, reasons for that? Do you have any the big examples of what you think are the reasons the world isn't going in a certain direction? And do you think that it's ethical to be a billionaire and have that amount of money, or that it should be spread out more evenly?
I feel like, because I've thought about this question before, like, is being a billionaire really, like, is it really fair to have that much money? And I will want to say yes, because the United States is based on work hard. You'll get that money. You'll get that amount of money. But it's, you know, for multiple reasons, not everyone has the same opportunity to be able to work that hard. Or if they do, the outcome's not going to be the same. So it's like, in a sense, the idea is fair, but in reality, I don't think it is, because having that much money is crazy. But I mean, the person worked for it, but it's not fair, because if another person works the same, they might not get that same amount of money.
And a lot of it isn't necessarily working harder. It's kind of just like having one really good idea or just being a little smart.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's really enough to like justify having so much more money than other people.
You have to think, like, is it fair to not praise that person, but is it fair to not celebrate that person by allowing them to have money? Like the person who made Google or Microsoft, what's his name? What's that dude's name? What's the dude who made Microsoft?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates, yeah. Is it fair? Is it, like, would it not be fair to be like, oh, no, you're still regular? Like, he made Microsoft, like, let's, you know what I mean?
I guess in a sense where it's like, yeah, it's absolutely fair to praise somebody for, you know, their accomplishments and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, like, going off of what Journey said, it's, in a sense, kind of like where it becomes unfair is when you look at people who have had the same ideas or have done the exact same things or have taken, you know, slightly some of the same path, and they've been stopped by obstacles because of race, gender, religion, you know, sexual preference, things like that. And it's like, wait a second, why? Because I don't fit, I guess you could say, your stereotype or your box, that I can't achieve the same accomplishments as the person that does fit your stereotype and your box.
Yeah, I do think, I mean, you guys are saying the world isn't really going in the right direction, but I feel like in some of those issues, maybe recently it's been going a little backwards since like Obama, because it was looking pretty good compared to now back then. But overall, like on a scale of hundreds of years, it's going in a pretty good direction on some of those issues. So I'm just wondering why you think that the world is going overall in a bad direction.
This also comes by, I would say, religion, because that's how everybody sees it. But for me, it's not a religion, but I'm not going deep into that. So for me, it has a lot to do with what I believe in. So things that are written in the Bible, you know, like, it's very controversial because people have different points of view, right? And they read it differently, you know. And probably I understand it a different way than everybody else, but it's also written in the Bible what is going to happen. And for me, like, when I go to church and everything, like, they preach about it, and, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, huh, like, this is actually happening, you know? You're sitting there and you're like relating to what's going on with the government and everything, and it's written in the Bible. So it's like not exactly the government, but it's like the humanity, world. The world. Yeah.
Are you talking about like in Revelations, like the end of days?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who are like seeing similarities.
But the thing is with that, I don't want to, because we said we weren't going to dive into that too much, but I feel like that stuff from Revelations has been happening throughout history. So it's like, it was the last years, 100 years ago. So you know what I mean? So you never really know. Like, it's stuff like that has been happening.
Yeah.
And I feel like, back to what you were saying, that question, why do I feel like it's not going to get better? Because some of the things we're trying to make better are ideas. And I feel like, personally, you can't stop someone from still thinking something, if that makes sense. Like, for example, racism. You might be able to stop the act of racism, but I feel like we can't stop the thought of it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, I'm still going to be black, and I'm still going to walk in there, and you're still going to think something of me, if that makes
sense. It's hard for me to disagree, obviously. But, and I think that it's obviously not easy, and it's not going to happen. Even if you live 500 years, it might not happen. But I do think that it's possible, because there was a time before racism.
Yeah.
Like, it was invented so that you could have an excuse to enslave black people and Native Americans. So there was a time before it. So I do see a world where it doesn't exist. So although it might be really hard to get rid of it, I do see a possibility of a world without it, you know?
I say the reason why I say that this, like, the world is, in a sense, I don't see it progressing as far as we would like it to go, but it would progress in a sense, is because, not even being funny, I look at our generation and I shake my head sometimes. Like, I just full on shake my head sometimes. Like, it's not bad. Like, okay, so when I think about how most of us grew up before, you know, the pandemic and things like that, you know, we weren't the tablet and iPhone kids. We were the actual go outside, sit down and read a book. You smell like outside. Okay, come have a snack, kids. Like, we were those kids. But now it's like, okay, morals have changed, emotions have changed, things that we once thought were not okay to do have somehow become acceptable in society. Like before, oh, you having multiple boyfriends was kind of like, ah, or you having multiple, you know, partners was like, mm. But now it's like, yeah, go do that. Cause you know, you're top of the top if you go do that. And it's like, okay. But in a sense, it's like those things that I guess mess with like emotional and mental moral standards mm-hmm. are the things that I say are the reason why we won't progress in a sense.
But you know what's crazy? I feel like every generation has something like that. Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure our parents are like, these kids now are soft. And their parents are probably like, them kids are soft. And the ones before that are probably like, they're soft. So I feel like each generation is going to get more soft, quote unquote, softer and softer. But is it really being soft or is it just them finding out how to maneuver in their world? Because like you said, we weren't iPad kids, but we didn't have iPad 10th generations when we were younger. So yeah. It's like...
But in a sense, it's kind of like when you think about it. Now, I was going to say, like, it's definitely sometimes on certain standards and certain things that our parents call us soft about, it's actually not being soft. It's actually, you know, progressing and finding different ways that weren't so toxic that they had that we're like, okay, let's change a bit of your parenting skills up. Like, let's not do that anymore. But on certain things that they see, we don't see the same. Like, some not even being funny, like sometimes our value on how we view life and people's lives aren't sometimes as high as it used to be. Like certain mm-hmm. things we'll be like, oh, okay, he got caught out there. Oops, his bad. What do you mean, oops, his bad? Like that's somebody's, you know, that's somebody. But at the same time, we're also like, you know, frontline protesters, frontline activists saying this is wrong, saying that is wrong. So it's kind of like, in a sense, is
counterproductive.
Yes.
Okay, I was gonna say the reason why I said I don't really see the world going in like an upward direction is because I think about like my parents would have sit down talks with me about just like current events in the world that might affect me when I grew up, and I literally see myself having that same conversation with like my kids or kids younger than me mm-hmm. because honestly it's gotten so much worse, like mm-hmm. just things like, I don't know, like shootings and stuff like that, and being aware of how you present yourself when you walk outside, how people are going to think about you when they see you and all that stuff. And I don't know. I think it's just because some people aren't able to see things from other people's point of view. They're not able to let go of their own thoughts and just maybe mm-hmm. put themselves in someone else's shoes. So I might think that's why, but that's why I said I don't really see it going. Good.
You said like because of like it's hard to go outside and not get judged and not get, and there's lots of shootings and things and it's like not very safe and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that that is definitely true. Mm-hmm. I just also think that it was worse before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also think it's based off of what we learn in school as well. Because like you also got to realize what you don't learn in your house, you learn out in quote unquote, like the streets and in your schools, which your teachers teach you. So you could teach her something. You could teach your child something in the house, but their teacher could be telling them something totally different. And now that the views and ideas that you're portraying onto your child has now been moved and somebody else is portraying something different. So now you're wondering why your child's coming home saying that the sky can turn pink and yellow in 2 seconds back to back and not mix. And you're like, how did that happen?
Okay. Can we get your definition of better? Because I feel like comparing it to 100 years ago isn't that good because it was also, like, way worse
than what it is now. Yeah.
So I feel like, I mean, I don't know. I just want to get your definition.
I'm just saying that.
But, like,
yeah.
I just feel like that's kind of my point, that, like, mm-hmm. you agree that it was way worse 100 yeah. years ago. And in the short term, there's a lot of bad things happening, and it's hard to look away from that. But that's also how it's been throughout history. And one of the reasons, like, it's just that we know about all the bad things happening now is what I think. Because we get the news, like, immediately and we know about the entire world. Yeah. And there's just more people, more bad things happening. But, like, per person and death rates and, like statistics about stuff like that, I just feel like it's definitely getting better. And when you look at history, there's more corruption, more racism. I just feel like it's pretty bad now, but it's getting better. And so if it gets better, like even at the same rate, it'll be a lot better even by the time I'm dead. So that's my point of view.
That makes sense. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I do agree with that.
Any more thoughts on that question, or do you want another one?
We're ready for it. We can do it again.
All right. So how do you imagine an optimal, I said perfect society last podcast, and it was like, that's not possible. It can't be perfect, which is true. So how do you imagine like an optimal society working? Like you could talk about the government, what we invest our money in, what people's morals are. Like, how do you imagine a perfect or optimal society playing out?
I think for me, it would just be equal opportunity. And I think we should start investing more money into education. Because I know I've heard some stuff just like in the hallways at public schools, and we need more money here because it is not going good. But I feel like equal opportunity, like we were talking about the billionaire question, about how sometimes it's not people working hard. It's just they have more connections. They grew up in an area where they could just like climb the ranks. So I feel like that would be our optimal society.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Equal opportunity, that's like the obvious one. Equal opportunity, definitely somewhere where everyone genuinely can achieve what they want to achieve, if that makes sense. Like there's no holding back, there's no discrimination towards anyone, any group. It's just all equal.
Do you think it should be equal, like everyone gets the same thing, or like fair? Because there's a bit of a difference. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I feel like fair, because you don't want to give someone something just because it's equal. So yeah, that makes sense. That was a good question.
Yeah,
definitely fair.
Because equal, when we say equal, we can be like, oh, it's not equal if you gave him 2 cookies and you didn't give me 2 cookies. And it's like, bro,
you're diabetic. You don't need to.
Yeah, like exactly. Yeah. Like you don't need those cookies. But as opposed to it being fair, and you're like, hey, okay, if I give one person a snack, I'm going to give the other person a snack. Mm-hmm. Even though you are a diabetic, I'm going to give you a snack that won't harm you in any way, but I still gave both of you a snack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or in another case, if we're both working a job and I show up late for 3 days and they fire me, and Journey show up late for 3 days and they don't fire her, I'm going to be like, wait, why is she not fired? But that's in a sense, that's not fair. But if you both fire us because we both showed up 3 days late, now that's fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any ideas for like how to achieve that? Do you think that there's any sort of like government system that would be better? When I ask the question, basically everyone says tax the rich more and more socialist type of stuff. But I was just wondering what your thoughts on that were, if you thought any government system would be better.
When we say tax the rich, right, we also have to think about who's saying it, but people's views of who the rich is. Because I've had multiple people tell me, oh, you're rich because you got a little watch on and a bracelet. Mm. And I'm like, no.
When I think of tax the rich, I'm thinking of tax people like Donald Trump, tax like
Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg. I messed his name all the way up.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like you said, you have all that money, but for what? Like, if you honestly... Have you ever, like, sat and thought about how much money these people have?
No, yeah.
And, like, what do you even do with that much
money? It's crazy because when you think about the amount that they, not saying it's mandatory or you're obligated to have to give your money away, but when you think about the amount that they have and the amount they do give away, it's kind of like, in a sense, a slap in the face sometimes. It's like, all right, I'm going to give you, like, $800,000, but I still got like this 25 kajillion in my pocket.
Yeah,
like that's what? How is that gonna help me?
We definitely should take, the government should definitely take more money away from them, if that makes sense. Like take more money away and put it towards the government. Like how Liv was saying, public schools need help.
Yeah, put it in areas that need it.
Let's take some of their money and use it for public schools. And I feel like if you have that much money, this is just me. If I had that much money, I'm not going to just sit on it. I would invest in the public schools and the city that, you know, some billionaires do that. I know some do, but I don't see a lot of it. And if there is a lot of it, I don't know of it.
Yeah, I think there was a huge donation to Durham Public Schools recently.
Yeah.
Might have been it might have been someone like Bill Gates. Bill Gates promised to give all his money away before he dies.
Yeah.
And he has like a foundation fighting malaria and stuff.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Like, in the sense of going back to the question of what we live 500 years and like what we could do with 500 years, I'm saying like things like that, people who have money like that, like think about what they could do in a sense of before they leave, what they could set up, like who they could help, foundations they could create, like those type of things. And not just, oh yeah, when he passed away, he had like $56 quadrillion in his pocket, but he did nothing with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it all depends on mentality.
Yeah.
Because you can, people who don't have the money wish for the money to do the things that people with money don't do sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes when people have the money, you know, they have the thought of it. They're like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But then sometimes when time goes by, they not forget about it, but they start, like, ignoring it. Like, oh, like, I'm already at the top. Like, I don't need anything else. And then their ego starts going up. And then, you know, they see all of us from the bottom. And I say us because the people who I can say don't have that much money, if that makes sense. So I think it's all about mentality. All of this is around your mentality, mm-hmm. like, and the way you were raised, if that makes sense. Because if you lived in a home, for my example, right, I lived with my mom. She was single with three kids. Mm-hmm. She had to raise us by herself. So I know the struggle that my mom went through. So it's like, you know, now that I get older, I'm starting to appreciate and everything. And I want to not make better decisions, but I think about it. And I know I went through it with my mom. So it's like, I know like I want to do better. And I want to, if I ever have the money that I know my mom struggled in having, I would want to use it like for something good. You know, I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it definitely does.
But yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people say that before they get rich, or then they get rich and they do one good thing and keep all the rest of their money. And they're like, look at all the good I'm doing. But you might have been doing more good than me, but I have way less money than you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're keeping all your money.
Yeah.
But I also think they get like used to it, used to all the money, and like they don't understand how much they have. But I also think that sometimes people in our school feel the same way. Like, we take it for granted that we even have a school to go to, or that we're in the United States. Like, you're already rich in a sense if you were just born in the United States. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the better schools even in the Triangle. So I think we also have a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah.
Compared to even people, even other people in the United States, but compared to the whole world, definitely. So I also think we're in a much better place than a lot of people to do good, just like maybe a billionaire's son would be in a good place to do good. We might not have the money, but we have like the opportunity and schools and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this part of what this podcast is about is like understanding that all of us are in like a pretty good place to do good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we just can't take that for granted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back to the like billionaire thing.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think there should be like a cap of how much money someone should have?
I don't think so. Because I feel like if you can make that much money, go ahead and make it. Like, make it. It's like, I don't know. I feel like that wouldn't make a lot of sense. Like, why stop someone's money from continuing? But like how we were talking about earlier, of course, if you're going to make that much amount of money, you should do something with it. That's just what I think. But I mean,
so like there could be a scenario where like you make a bunch of money, but instead of like capping it, there's like a cap. And then over that, you have to like start a foundation or mm-hmm. do some sort of good yeah. with that money.
Yeah.
Like there's a point where the money isn't just like whatever your you want anymore.
Type. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's not just your money. Now you have to use it. That would make, I feel like that would
like be. You could invest in like stuff that you believe in, mm-hmm. but not just anything, you know?
Yeah.
I say no. Like, I don't, like Jenny was saying, I don't think you should stop me from making my money, right? Because in sense of becoming a billionaire or whatever, based off of, like, personal morals and values, I want to create generational wealth for my children and their children and, you know, the next few generations. So if I'm a billionaire, right, not going to lie, I'm envisioning myself like, I'm trying to do what the Kennedys did. Like, I'm giving my children $1 million, every child, like, here you go, this is yours. And then you're going to give your children $1 million, or you're going to give them more. So nobody's looking back like, oh my gosh, I had to eat Hot Pockets for breakfast. Like, we're not doing that. I'm not going to lie, I love Hot Pockets, but sorry. but like, no, that's the sense where I'm like, okay, now, yes, becoming a billionaire, I would definitely, like you were saying, after that, you know, that mark right there, I'm definitely going to start, you know, foundations and giving back to things that need help, obviously. But to put like a cap on it and say, all right, you're done, no more, like, I don't think that's, once again, I don't think that's fair now.
Yeah. Because most of the time, you work hard for it. Like, you have to go to school sometimes for years for you to get where you want to be. Or some people don't even go to school. And that's actually surprising. And it's very inspiring because some people don't have the knowledge sometimes that other people do, but they made it that far. And I feel like nobody should stop nobody unless, yeah, nobody should stop nobody, you know? Yeah. But because all of us are working for our own things, we're all trying. Even like all of us have a type of obstacle, you know? Like everybody goes through something. If it's mentally or physically or spiritually, whatever.
I'm going to also say no, just for the same reason that Amina was saying, like, generational wealth. Because I don't know if this is going to sound selfish, but I also want to set my family up for success. But I would also try and put the rest of that money towards just foundations that I know would need it and aren't getting just, like, that spotlight when they're struggling.
Yeah.
So do you guys think it's fair that you could just be born into wealth?
I don't think it's fair, but it's definitely a good advantage to have.
I feel like the way it was set up isn't fair.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's fair because, like how you were saying, how you want to set your kids up, I want to set my kids up. I'm pretty sure the person who the kid was born into the wealth, you know what I mean? They wanted to set their kids up. That's why they're born into the wealth. But like we were talking about, the way it was set up, like the wealth gaps, it's not set up fair. But I mean, hey, what can you do really? Cause I'm pretty sure my great grandma wasn't able to set my great grandma up for wealth. So that means she had to, like, the setting up for wealth is just now getting started. I know for me and people who are African-American, like, you know, of that background, the generational wealth is just now getting set up for us. Mm-hmm. As for other people, they've had it for a couple of generations.
It's mostly started from our parents or grandparents, and now us.
Now us. Now we can really set our kids.
Because my great-grandmother had a third-grade education, but my grandpa went to school, got his master's degree in engineering, and sent my father to Catholic school and was like, man, we're not doing this. Y'all got to do something. Like, we're not just going to sit around here and not do anything.
Yeah.
But I definitely think when it comes to generational wealth and being, you know, if it's fair or not that your child was brought or born into wealth, I think in a sense it's based off of, like Arissa was saying, the mentality you give your children with this wealth. Mm. Like, I'm not going to give you $1 million and say, hey, you got $1 million. Now go brag about it. I'm going to tell you, hey, you got this $1 million because I worked my behind off to get it for you. Now you work your behind off to give it to your children.
Mm-hmm. I think it's not like their fault they were born into it. And I think people should understand that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not their fault that they, you know, are wealthy and their parents were wealthy and whatever. It's just a, like you said, an advantage. Mm-hmm. And I think people should have the right mentality for it. Like you said, like Amina said, you give your kid $1 million, but you can't tell your kid, okay, yeah, like you're gonna, like that kid cannot brag about it, you know? It's like for me, I would tell my kid, like, hey, like you're still the same person. Like, you know, like you are like, keep being humble. And if you can, share it with the rest. Like, help others to get where you are at too, because I know others might need the same help that you do. And sometimes people don't have the knowledge that probably you do, so you can help people get there. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what I think.
You guys also said that, like, your optimal society would be, like, fair for everyone. Mm-hmm. So I guess I could see that it, in a way it would be fair to give your kids wealth because, like, they're your kids and you earned it. But in some cases you don't earn it. So it's tough. It's also really hard to make it fair. Like you said, maybe we should be investing in like public schools, but we're not really, which is a big problem. Like the Republican who recently got like elected in the primary to run for like, it's like it's like the dean of the state or something. I don't know. Basically the person who oversees public schools for the state of North Carolina doesn't believe in public schools. He sends his kids to private schools and he thinks that public schools are bad and that everyone should just use their own money to go to private schools, because it's kind of an argument that like private schools are easier to regulate and it's easier to make sure that it goes well because like supply and demand, whatever, like it's just a business. But it's like a little bit aggravating that like the person who's probably going to get that role, because we're a Republican state, doesn't even believe in public education.
I guess people always say like it's easier to regulate in terms of private school because your parents are paying for you to go here. So you're not going to act the fool the same way you would act the fool on somebody else's dime. Like some of these kids here, think about it. They vandalize the bathrooms, the tracks, they throw trash everywhere. Like it's on somebody else's dime though. So they're like, oh, it's not really affecting me until, you know, consequences. All right, I get suspended here. I get, you know, ISS here or whatever. But in terms of if it was your parents' money, you're not going to throw a whole roll of tissue in the toilet on your parents' money because, all right, now your parents have to pay for whatever you broke.
I was thinking about that earlier, like how you said he sends his kids to private school and he doesn't really believe in public schools. I feel like it's hard to, like, see the problem if you don't experience it. Like billionaires, the stuff that we think they should be putting their money into that they don't, they probably haven't experienced it like enough to be like, oh, this is an actual problem. Like I hear people talking about it, but I never really went through it, so I don't think, like, it's not on their radar, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So do you guys think that public schools are like a basic human right? Do you think that it is better to have public schools than just private schools?
I say, yeah, I believe everybody should have a right to education, no matter, you know, your background, mm-hmm. race, religion, whatever. I believe everybody should have a right to education.
Yeah. And again, not everybody has the money
to because send once their again, kids like we were saying, school. Obstacles, you know, race, religion, gender, those things, finances. Sometimes, you know, I can't shoot out $1,200 a month for my child to go to school. Sometimes I don't even have a car to take my child to school. I can't get them lunch, basic things like that. I don't have a computer for them to go to school with. So sending them to a public school where they can have all these things, you know, provided for them, and those one or two meals that they have could be, you know, the only thing I can give them for that day. Yes, I'm going to have to. I'm not even going to have to. I'm going to send my child to that public school so they can at least have an opportunity to, you know, do something with their life.
Yeah.
Do you think that private schools should exist?
I don't want to say private schools. I feel like specialty schools would be a cool thing. Like if you know this is what you want to do, I feel like going to a school that's specialized in that would be cool. Kind of like DSA, almost like Durham School of the Arts. If you know you want to be artsy and you know you're that, going to a high school that's like that, that's cool to me. I feel like that should be the definition of private school. Like, we're not private as in you can't come unless you have this amount of money, but we're private as in, like, we
specialize in this. Mm-hmm.
I also feel like, though, now that I think about it, you know, celebrities, like, how celebrities put their kids into, like, celebrity schools? I feel like that should still be a thing, because honestly, if I was a celebrity, I wouldn't want my kid to go to a school that everyone else goes to, because that's kind of like, you know what I mean?
Bit unsafe.
Yeah, it's unsafe. Like
think about it. You know, I'm not going to send my child off to, first off, like, example, if I got like Taylor Swift status or Beyonce status, I'm not sending my child to no Jordan High School where everybody knows your address and your information. Like, that is so unsafe. And then think about when you're going to get bum-guarded, you're going to get, you know, people are going to follow you, people are going to try to, like, no, I'm not going to put my child in that type of danger because I'm like, oh, I want you to experience public school. No, sorry, you're going to go in this private school, put that little uniform on, I'm going to pay for it, be quiet. Yeah,
because if people don't like me, then you're not going to like my kid.
At all.
Like, if your parent doesn't like me, and they tell you, and you know that, and you see my kid at the school, I'm just not even going to set them up like that.
There's people with bad intentions, actually. Like, everywhere you go, there's people with bad intentions. And sometimes you don't even notice it. But for the safety, for your safety, you have to take certain
precautions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about it. Like you were saying, bad intentions. There are people who even go to public school who have bad intentions and harm other people. And you're like, dude, I just, you know, what did I do? I just existed. Why did this happen to me? Yeah.
So if you, like, got that type of generational wealth that you want, and private schools were, like, a better option for your children, they just had better education, would you send them there? Like, you aren't famous, you just have money. Mm-hmm. But would you send them there?
Well, yeah, because they are a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In the world now, they're a thing. But, like, how we were saying earlier, do I feel like they should be a thing? Nah, but would I send mine now? Yeah. Just because they are a thing and that, like, that looks good. Because, like we were talking about earlier, setting our kids up for better, that would look good, like, to see that you went to this school.
But sometimes kids can go to private schools or charter schools and whatever, and they still act. Like I said, it's all mentality and how you're raised, because people can go to, I know plenty of people. And it's like, okay, you went to a charter school, cool. Like, okay, I went to a public school, but we're not the same. Like, we're not acting the same, you know?
Absolutely. I would definitely send my kids to a private school, definitely.
I went to a charter school the whole after my middle school / kind of elementary school until I came to Jordan. Like, Jordan was my...
First.
Okay, so I went to preschool, which was a public school, but Jordan was my actual, like, public school that I haven't, you know, actually experienced. Mm-hmm. I feel like public school and private schools are really different, because being in a private school, you're going to have to, you have to dress a certain way, you have to be a certain way, while being a public school, you get to dress whatever, and you get to... It's, like, different.
You don't think that, like, boycotting something that you believe is wrong would help or is the right thing to do?
Regarding public schools?
Like, how you said that you do think that private schools shouldn't exist, but you would still send them. Mm-hmm. You don't think that, like, boycotting it would be good?
It would, yeah.
It would be good? But you would still send them?
Yeah.
In a sense, like, that's kind
of... Like, that's... It's like... It makes sense, but in reality, like, I probably would still send my kids.
Like, it sounds backwards. It's like, yeah, I don't think it's fair, but I'm still send my kids anyway.
Yeah. Like, realistically, if I had that money, when I'm that old, I would probably send my kids to a
private school. I say yes on both halves, like, sending and keeping, because, like we were saying, every parent is entitled to where they want to send their child to school and how they want to, you know, bring them up. Mm-hmm. So if you believe as a parent that public schools are teaching the students something that you don't believe in, and there's a better option, whether that be, you know, a Catholic school, a Christian school, you know, an Islamic school, and you want to send your child there so those same beliefs can, you know, be kept, then that's your choice as a parent until your child becomes of age. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, hey, I don't want to go there anymore. And you're like, all right, cool. We can, you know, we can change it out now.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like I will only send my kid, if I had like money, I might have only sent my kid to like Ivy League private college.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I think about it, I feel like high school might be the only grade I would let them be public. Middle school and elementary, I might like private school them then. But high school, I feel like you need that experience, like the whole little... Like, go to a big school type little high school experience. I feel like that's...
Exactly what happened to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what happened to me, yeah. I mean, I did go to public elementary school in Canada, which is kind of different.
Whoa.
We don't necessarily... I could talk about that, but...
All right, yeah.
We have seven more minutes. Yeah. Yeah. I did public elementary school in Canada. And then private Christian school here, and then public, which is kind of, and for the reasons that you were saying, like, because that's what they believe and because they think the education's better. But they also, like, have to consider, is it fair? Is it, because you guys were saying it's not fair, but you were also saying, like, generational wealth is fair and that it's, like, the person's right. So I do think that's, like, a little bit in conflict if it is fair or it isn't fair. And I do think that it kind of is fair, because if you believe that generational wealth is fair and you believe that people should be able to start their own businesses and stuff. I don't think that it's I don't think that the U.S. Vision is like stopping people from educating other ones. Like, if you had to ban private mm-hmm. schools, you'd have to stop all education other than public education. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's okay.
Yeah, it's not fair. That's why I say definitely, yeah, public, charter, private, even homeschool. Because I was homeschooled for a bit. Mm-hmm. Hated it, though. But, like, any type of education that you can be given or that you can give to your child, I believe you should.
Mm-hmm. I feel like letting your kids go, like, not letting them do what they want, but like, you know, giving them a little bit for them to experience, you know,
life.
Yeah. So like what Journey said, like, I would keep my kid if I had the money, in a private school, you know, or in a, just for him to be, just for him or her to be not safe, but I would let them experience that because I didn't experience it. So I don't know how it feels mm-hmm. like. So I would like them to experience it and everything. And since they're children, they're like, you know, they don't really know what's going on till they hit a certain age. Mm-hmm. And it's like it actually hits and you're like.
So overall, you guys think private schools are generally good?
I believe so, somewhat. Yes. Mm-hmm. Somewhat, yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely believe so.
But yeah, like once you like, get into high school, like, I want you to also see the world in a different perspective. Not a different perspective, but, like, I want you to experience different.
I want to show you both halves.
Yeah.
Your half and everybody
and
else's.
I feel like if it's better for their mental health, if that makes sense. Because I feel like if you go to a private school, I feel like it's more, not stressful, but it's, like, you have to, it's more, like, correct. Like, they're more strict. You know, mm-hmm. and I feel like you have to get your grades. You have to get good grades and you have to be on top of everything. That's what I feel like. And for a public school, I feel like they are more like less heavy on you.
From my experience, I feel like me as being in a private school, like you said, is about mentality. Everyone is going to view things differently. For me, I feel like that did not change anything for just for me, like. Of course, there were certain things I had to be in a private school. Like, there were some classes like, oh, if you're in this type of class, you're in the smart class, or it's like different levels of classes for me. But, yeah.
I was going to say even though Yurissa views it, you know, as a bad thing for them to be on top of children about getting their work done and being punctual and things like that, I feel as though it's a good thing because... Like, not being funny, but if you look at how some of us flunked during COVID and we somehow are all passed after, you can't tell me there's no way, like, we did not all just click, 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 and actually did not retain or learn or do anything, but somehow we're all still graduating, though.
I don't think it's bad, you know? Like, I would be on top of my kid, like, hey, like, how are your grades doing? Like, you know, have you done your homework? You know, I would even... do it myself. Like, I would like somebody else to encourage my kid, you know, to get his work done or her work done.
We just only have 2 more minutes, so would y'all be down for like a part two sometime?
Absolutely, because I definitely want to get back to you going to school in Canada.
Yeah.
So you're from Canada.
No, it definitely was though.
Yeah. Yeah, we should definitely do a part two.
Yeah.
Do you want to continue what you were saying or?
No. Okay. I completely, my mind went blank.
Okay. Any parting words before?
It made me really think. Yes. It's a good podcast.
Really on the spot questions. Yeah. Like, it makes you think in an instant mm-hmm. and you have to like, I think it's more like you actually say what you're actually like thinking, mm-hmm. you know?
And you get to like view everyone's perspectives on how they think.
Yeah, no, I definitely enjoyed this because we don't have, in this generation, we don't have enough of these conversations with each other. We're just like, oh, you're my buddy. And then when like serious situations come up and then we have, you know, opposing ideas, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I did not know that about you. Yeah. Sorry, we can't be friends anymore.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that, I definitely think that these conversations are very much needed in these times and days.
We only have 1 more minute.
All right. Thank you guys. We definitely need a part two. Yeah. So
yes.
Thank you for being on. And
thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can't wait for part two. Thank you for listening to episode 3 of the Jordan Innovation Lab Philosophy Podcast. Today's guests were Olivia, Journey, Aaliyah, Amina, and Yurissa. Come back for part 2 with the same guests next time. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you for having us.